Hey guys, just a quick heads up before the show starts. I wanted to remind you, you can get bonus episodes every week by joining our Patreon for just $3 a month. That's right, every dang week, a bonus episode for three bones a month. That's patreon.com/standbyyourband. All right, enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, for another week, joined by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
You know, I'm having a bit of a crisis this week, Tom. I shaved about a 3-month beard off, and I'm not liking what I see.
You broke up with Emily?
You know that old term where you shave them off?
Sometimes you got to shave that beard when it gets warm, when it gets cold out. I totally hear you. So you're not like, I think you look good. You got a fresh
thank
face.
You very much. You know, you totally forget as a man when you grow a beard for a while what your face looks like. And then you're like, Oh shit, that's that guy. All right.
Not absolutely. Sure. I had the same thing. I shaved my mustache last week. And even though it's just such a small patch of hair on your face, it still was like, it's immediately I regretted it. And then after a day, it feels okay. We should bring our guest into this convo, get her thoughts. Logan Gunzelman's here.
Hello. I wanted to say I didn't see Tommy pre-beard, so I thought he looked fine. I think you look nice.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
But
wearing
I
nice
get
sweater.
I think that beards are like makeup for men, so I
think yes.
Tough for you
it's
guys.
It's true. And I think we need to also start wearing makeup. I think that would be good for us. We ugly as hell.
Apparently, I went down a rabbit hole many moons ago where there is a whole community of white women living in South Korea married to Korean men who have blogs about the experience.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading this one woman's blog, and apparently it is super common in South Korea for men to wear foundation.
Really?
Yeah, they wear something called BB cream.
Okay, I think I've heard of that. All right.
Just some, you know, put on the list next time you're at Dwayne Reed. That's a regional
yes.
pharmacy.
That is true. We have the Dwayne Reeds here. Do we? Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Reed. What's the place we used to? Oh, Rite Aid is the place that we had next to our old apartment that I still go to quite a bit. Logan, how are you doing today?
You know, I'm awake.
Yeah, you're in LA. You're on that sweet LA time. I was just saying it's so early, but it's only 10:45.
It's 10:50. So I am wearing pajama pants. I put on a regular t-shirt because the t-shirt I've been sleeping in, it's got holes in it that are inappropriate, but I just so it doesn't, and I was like, I'm gonna have to put on a different shirt.
Sure.
Today is tough. I don't know if you guys heard the news. The restaurant Sizzler filed for bankruptcy.
No.
Yeah.
Not Sizzler, a place that I didn't know was still in business.
Yeah, I never went to a Sizzler.
I went, but I didn't know that they were still around. I thought that they went down a while back. I did not know they were still going.
They've gone down in quality. The reason this is sad, I have a lot of – my mom told my whole family that she was pregnant with me at a Sizzler, which makes
– whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. And I had my 23rd birthday at a Sizzler. I had a semi-formal at the Sizzler and because they serve alcohol. So I wore my old prom dress and we got wasted at a Sizzler. So I woke up to today's been tough so far.
Sure.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I was going to ask about like the fires and stuff in LA, but this is much, much worse.
Yeah.
That'll pass. The Sizzler's never coming back.
Yeah. They've always found a way to fix fires, but there's no way to fix Sizzler's business model.
What? I'm realizing as I say this, I always got Sizzler confused with Ponderosa Steakhouse. And what kind of range was Sizzler in? Is that like a Red Lobster range or lower?
I want to say lower because I'm judging it based on the variety of foods that were next to each other at the salad bar.
Sure.
Like you, there was tacos next to spaghetti and meatballs next right. to an ice cream machine.
So Sizzler was a buffet.
It was
like a Golden Corral.
Kind of. Yeah. I've never been to Golden, but like you'd go up and you'd order and you could get like steak or crab or like stuff like that. Or you could just get the salad bar. As a child, I would just get the salad bar and I loved it. And my parents, you know, my dad would, he got this thing called Malibu chicken. It's not important. It's chicken with ham and cheese on it. Anyway, I'm just
That's heartbreaking.
Going through a lot right now.
I get it. Well, you do still have Golden Corral, which does sound much more similar than I realized. Because you can also order steaks at Golden Corral, I'm pretty sure. And
Golden Corral has to be closing soon. Like, they have a
chocolate. Yeah, all these buffets, I think, are going down. Because I can't even imagine when shit opens back up that I'll want to be... Not that I was going to Golden Corral much anyway, but... it was my ex, the girl I was engaged to, when I was 22, it was her dad's favorite restaurant. So we bonded on how much we could eat at Golden Corral.
Wow.
And it was like a point of like, oh, you only had two plates, bitch. Like,
that sounds like a healthy relationship based on healthy.
Yeah.
Family.
Yeah. That's Indiana for you. that's how you ask for marriage. You're, you gotta take your girlfriend's dad to Golden Corral.
Do you hide the ring in the chocolate fountain?
Yeah, you do. And you just pray that he's next up there, because a lot of people are using it. You lose a lot of rings.
I was gonna say, I was like, you take a metal detector to that chocolate fountain, you make rent for the week, baby.
that is really, really unfortunate news.
Yeah.
And you know what's something you couldn't get at Sizzler, something
what?
You couldn't eat, World.
What, World?
Yeah.
Logan eats Sizzler, but Jimmy
eats World.
Oh, wow. I get it now. I could see Tom thinking, and I was like, what's happening right now?
Yeah, the wheels were spinning. I couldn't sleep last night. My cats were running all over the apartment. It was one of those things where I could just hear bad things happening downstairs, but I didn't have the energy to get up. But instead, I just worried about waking up to a bunch of shit being broken. And luckily, all they did was knock over a vase that didn't break. So it's all good. Oh. But
it's just grandma's ashes. And
she would have wanted it over this way. Anyway, we're talking about Jimmy Eat World today on the show. Very exciting stuff. I do want to point out really fast. So I was telling Tommy about this yesterday, because you guys had not met prior to today, I believe.
No.
And, worked on a show called The Movie Show together, that they just started filming. Dude, I'm very excited. They started the Shark Mayor sketch. They sent us a picture of something. Yeah. Dressed as it was very exciting. But I was telling Tommy, my introduction of Logan to Tommy was that when we would write scripts on the show, Logan would always slide in a part where one of the characters would be eating another character's ass in place.
Andy did it with me.
Andy would also do it.
We would... Every single time it got to the point where we were sending in two versions of sketches, and one would have like an extra page of just describing second by second this character getting. I think we put a lot ass eaten to completion was what we would put. A lot.
Oh yeah, that's right, ass eaten to completion. Which and, what does that quite mean?
Well, that's the great thing. It's till, you know, someone comes or someone's full, I guess. It's sure. One or the other.
That was Sizzler's slogan back in the day. Someone comes or someone's full. You
know, a night out with the family.
I gotta make a t-shirt of that now.
That's great. Logan also does a lot of pranks that are not necessarily for anyone but her. Have you been doing any of those? I mentioned this to somebody and they were like, that's kind of a dangerous thing to do during COVID, but
it's I've kind of avoided, it's tough for, mainly it was logistically tough because for a while, like print places that I would go to print my stuff.
Yeah.
Were closed. Like I, a long, long time ago, hung a fake banner at a Del Taco drive-thru that was like an artistic version of a toilet. So it looked like all their other art, but then there was just a toilet. That required going to a banner place to get it printed.
Of course.
Spending my own money for no reason.
Do you even like, cause I, maybe I've just missed, I've seen some of them on your Instagram and stuff, but do you even post all of them? Like, I don't remember seeing that one.
That one was like years and years ago and I did post it, but I have a secret feeling cause I will post it. And I hate that I've thought about this cause it's depressing, but I feel like Twitter specifically, unless you're posting like a thirsty photo, it doesn't like it when you post pictures.
Right. Yeah. And, that could be true. I've noticed when I post pictures, nobody cares, even when they're thirsty.
Yeah, I mean,
Twitter doesn't like it.
Twitter's like, if you could stop, we would really appreciate it.
Just post like a joke or something. I get an email from Twitter.
They flag it like they do with, what is it, like false? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're, I haven't.
Like, yeah, false. Information or whatever. I think you should start it. I think you should have a whole account that's just your Logan's little prank.
I'd have to be in charge of another thing.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm hanging on by a thread as it is. So I feel like I shouldn't add to my, like, I got a TikTok for 2 seconds. I got kicked off. Now they're getting rid of TikTok. So
you got kicked off of TikTok?
Yeah, I made. So you remember early on in, very early in the pandemic, we were still in the office where people were sending around that picture of that guy, Wood.
I introduced this to the office, and I'm pretty sure that you're talking about the big dick guy, right?
Yeah. Also, I'm sorry that someone's using a leaf blower outside. I hope it's
not. I sent this as a very risky email to Alex. Oh yeah. So everybody remembers this. It was the classic prank of like, the one that I got originally was, oh shit, they're doing it. They're shutting down the New York MTA system. Like, this pandemic thing is real. It was before it was really real.
Yeah.
It was like early March. And so we were like, oh, maybe this is going to be bad. I don't know. And then I saw somebody texted me, I think, like, hey, they shut down the MTA. Here's like the article. And if you click on the article, it's just that that dude with the big dick. Yeah.
Which also, as a side note that I think is funny now. So at the beginning, Tom knows, at the beginning of the pandemic, me and my boyfriend broke up. But so the last text I sent before we broke up was that prank. So it looks like I sent that. He opened it, saw the picture, and was like, I got it today. Absolutely not. But so for a while, I was, there were like a bunch of memes made of him of like editing him into random stuff.
Sure.
So I edited him into that part in Pulp Fiction where John Travolta, or maybe it's Samuel, when he opens a briefcase and you don't see what's in it.
Uh-huh.
So it cuts to inside the briefcase. It's that picture. And then I edited it into the series finale of The Office. They unveil a mural. And so I had my brother help me edit. So when the mural comes out, it's the guy's dick.
Sure.
And so I posted both those videos to TikTok, which is made for children. And they they were like, you can't post stuff like this on TikTok. And they're like, you can fight us. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to. It's fine. I don't need to be on here. So I didn't.
TikTok? You should have posted on Thick Cock. Oh, God.
No. Say it again, please.
No, I regret it.
Wait, where should I post it? What did you say I should post it on?
Not important.
Oh, my God.
It just rhymed, and that's how some of our brains work. Look, if something rhymes, you got to say it.
I'm picturing the TikTok logo, but as thick cock, and I like it.
I think we have a new project for Logan to work on.
Yeah, just give me anything to Photoshop so I'm not annoyed. Also, is the leaf blower... Here's the thing. No one has
ever... You're good.
Okay, no one's ever leaf blown in my neighborhood ever. But today, someone's decided it's time.
We have a cursed podcast. Last week, George Severus had a similar deal where there was like crazy construction going on at just a random ass time of the day. But you know what? No matter what, this podcast will prevail. Nevertheless, he persisted. Let's talk about Jimmy World. Okay. It's time. I loved that this was your pitch, although you did have a almost last second change of heart to switch to Third Eye Blind.
Yeah.
But we have discussed them already.
Well, I just, because I was like, I was revisiting Jimmy Eat World after I suggested it, and I realized, to be honest, I know one of their albums very, very well. Like, sure. I know the whole album, but beyond that, like, my interest is deep but not broad, if that makes sense. And so then I was like, oh no, maybe I should pick a band that I, like, know more of. That's why I threw through, and then also Third Eye Blind was just on one, and I was like, what about them? And then you're like, no. I was like, okay.
Well, it was interesting that that was going to be your second choice, because these, the two bands do have a history together.
Yes.
Yeah,
they were together.
Yeah, they co-headlined a tour, and then the drummer from Jimmy Eat World, Zach Lind, tweeted, Stephen Jenkins is such a fucking creepy douchebag, and then in parentheses, I feel so much better now.
I did not know that. I missed that.
Yeah.
Damn.
So I was having trouble finding, like, anything following up on why he said that, but I think it was a serious thing. It wasn't like a bit. So
when was this?
That is something I did not write down.
Like early days of Twitter? Are we talking?
That is wild.
No, this is like, no, definitely, you know, mid to late 2010s.
I'm looking it up also because I did not see this.
I saw Third Eye Blind in concert recently, like pre-pandemic, but...
You saw who? You saw Third Eye Blind recently?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was, I mean, it was great. He was wearing like a V-neck and he was pretty muscular. Sure. So I was like, I get a vibe that he's not fun. I don't know. But they played, it was one of those things where, like, you know, when a band will be like, we're going to play one of our deep cuts, and you're always like, God damn it, I don't care. But... Third Eye Blind kept doing it, but just with songs that I liked. So it was
nice,
you know, fun experience. I don't know if I should be embarrassed that I went to that concert. I don't know if all of this stuff, all of my music taste is embarrassing. I feel like it should be, probably.
I think, I mean, definitely our resident snob, Jared Thompson, would say that Third Eye Blind would be embarrassing. I love the first two Third Eye Blind, actually, even the first three Third Eye Blind albums. I have not kept up since then, but we had Teresa Lee on to talk Third Eye Blind as well, and
Nice.
That was a while ago now, but I would like to see all the hits. I'd like to see if they played the first two albums, like just that stuff, I would love it.
It was mostly that stuff. Like, it wasn't new that I'd never heard of. It was all like off the first two or three albums. Like, they knew who they were playing for.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, right. And
I know this isn't talking about Jimmy World. I've never seen them in concert, but I listened to them a lot in my car.
I will
say, there was one of their crossover I wanted to do too.
This was like a year ago, right? Did you already say that?
Yeah,
Tommy?
I think it was 2018. Yeah.
This is I'm reading a Reddit thread about it where it says that the guy apparently doubled down in the comments too. A lot of people are saying, yeah, he's for sure a douche.
It's funny because, like, I'm imagining he posted this, the guy from Jimmy Eat World, and was like, this is going to blow up the alternative rock scene with this revelation. And you have to, like, do a deep dive to figure it out because no one gave a shit, you know?
Yeah. Let's talk Jimmy Eat World, though, because I do think, like, it is interesting that you said that when they did tour together. It sounds like not that long ago. Posting this, I didn't realize how much people loved Jimmy Eat World. We got so many comments about this.
Like that specific album, the one that I think it's like Bleed American,
yes,
or something. That one came out at just the right time where, like, I knew a lot of people really liked them. Like, I didn't feel weird for really liking them then.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I like when I would tell people I would like them, either people were like, oh, I love them, or they were like, okay, I guess.
Sure. Well, I think here's the problem. And from what I've been able to tell, because I did a little Googling myself. I did our way of researching things where I typed in third headline, Jimmy Eat World Sucks. And a lot of people really don't like The Middle. That's the song that was on all the time. Yeah. I will tell you right now, I loved it. I still like it. I think we should, you didn't put it on the playlist, but I think we should listen to it.
Yeah, I didn't, because I figured, I was like, that's the one everybody knows.
Of course, of course.
So I was like, and I like it, but I get that it was overplayed, you know?
Sure. But it was overplayed for a reason, in my opinion. This is the song. It's called The Middle. You know it. We know it. I still like it. I think it's a great song. It's just I get why people get annoyed with it, but I really like it.
And my dad even put it in. He edited a video for my sixth grade graduation.
Uh-huh.
And he put that song in it. And like, it was rare for my parents to like any music that I also liked.
Sure.
You know what? And normally would be like, that's lame, but it was like a challenge. Like, my dad doesn't like music at all. It's weird. Mm-hmm. So when he liked it, I was like, hell yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah.
That is weird. I remember, like, I got along with my mom musically in that we liked a lot of the same country music when I was a kid, but then my stepdad would show me music all the time that I fucking hated. And I remember when the song Hanging by a Moment came out, it was the one song that we both agreed on as being awesome. And it of course does not.
Now I'm trying to remember how that song goes.
Hanging by a moment here with you. There is a video on YouTube of me singing along to that song in concert at a free show in St. Louis where they were opening for the Goo Goo Dolls.
And, wow.
I would love to erase it. My friend Josh Subert posted it. Very embarrassing.
Someone had asked me to try and find that and post it, but it's very hard to find.
I found it once. I don't even remember how I found it because I Googled it and found it somehow just with the right keywords, I guess. But I don't know if I want to post it. It might be too cringy for me to do. But this one, I could see why. It's just it's a song that's vague enough to be applicable to anybody going through anything. So it's like, it's just a great song, especially if you're coming of age when it came out.
Yeah.
But even if not, it's just, I really enjoy it. I didn't realize that there was some controversy with the song not long ago with Kelly Clarkson, where she was accused of plagiarizing this song for, I don't know what her song was that was it, but I almost want to do a little side.
Yeah, I want to know, was it a new Kelly Clarkson song or an old
this song? When is this article from? Let's see. Come on now.
Are they saying Since You've Been Gone, I could kind of see?
No, it's not. It's not even that. It's a song called Heartbeat Song. So let's.
Oh, I know that song.
We just heard.
People sound anything alike. Well, actually, when she's not doing the opening bit, it's not the opening. Not this part. This part. The verses sound sort of like, hey, don't let yourself off yet.
Oh, I see.
So not.
I don't think it's similar enough for this to be a big issue. And apparently they were really cool about it. Like, they said no harm, no foul. I don't think she ended up actually getting sued about it. It was just that people did that. And then she was also, she was like, look, there's only so many chords. She didn't write the song. So she was like, I don't think it was stolen when we were recording it. Nobody mentioned this at all. And in fact, what's weird is she said, we actually thought our song sounded like the Postal Service. And that was our big concern, which I don't really hear that, but
I'm also like, don't say that you copied somebody
else. Yeah, we were trying to steal from Ben Gibbard. This sucks.
I also saw them in concert.
Is that the Postal Service? Or yeah. Death Cab? Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah. Never Kelly Clarkson, but yes, the Postal Service.
You ever notice how you never see Postal Service and Death Cab for Cutie in the same room?
Yeah, I've never been able to figure that out. It's like you'd think they'd get along based on their music, but you just don't see them.
Tommy, were you a middleman?
Yeah, people have been trying to cut me out for years.
I heard you're a top guy.
Oh my god. I love the middle. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's very catchy. I loved it at the time. I love it now. I had a few things I wanted to go through about it because I watched a video with them about how they wrote it. And
okay.
An interesting timestamp on it is the inspiration for the lyrics the singer was saying was he had to go to, they had like a JimmyWorld@AOL was their email account. And he said like no one ever emailed it, even though it was like so obvious that it'd be them. But he would have to go to his parents' house to check the email because he like couldn't check it. He like didn't have a computer of his own. So he like went to his parents' house, checked that email. And there was like one email there and it was from a 14-year-old girl who like loved their music. And she was just talking about how she didn't feel like she like fit in the punk scene. And that was the inspiration for writing the song, which I thought that was a cool little backstory. Yeah. And the other thing which just fits into why we should be defending them is I read a great AV Club piece by this guy Jason Heller, who was a big part of the DIY music scene in Denver. Mm-hmm. And he used to have Jimmy Eat World at house shows and like loved them, and it was when they were a little more punky than pop punk, you know.
Sure.
So there's just a couple of things from the article that I wanted to read. He said, when it came out, he said, oh, how I loathed that goddamn song. When I first heard it, I did a double take. That was his voice, all right. But beyond that, I didn't recognize a single element of Jimmy Eat World anywhere in the middle. The chord progression came out of a can. The lyrics were Teen Angst boilerplate. It was stupid, simple, inanely upbeat. And then he says, I can't remember when I stopped hating the middle, let alone when I started loving it. My feelings towards the song evolved gradually, just with Jimmy Eat World's music. When I hear it today, it's an utter heartbreaker, an aching rush of elation, bittersweet nostalgia, and even a bit of shame for having turned my back on these guys.
Hell yeah.
I thought that was nice.
Wow. Yeah. I love that. I love the admission of I was wrong for shitting on this because it was popular and because it was different than what I expected them to be.
Mm-hmm. It's rare someone will not be stubborn about that, but I think it was like that thing where their early fans thought of it as a sellout thing, but you know, we were, you know, whatever age we weren't like,
no,
this is nothing like the back catalog.
Like 11.
That was kind of the thing too, where if you listen, like most of the songs I sent you are from that one album, and none of them really sound like the middle at all, which like that would bother me when people are mad, because I'm like, yeah, they can have one song on their whole CD be one that could make them money. Just one is fine.
God forbid they make a living.
They did have, I think, two that were pretty popular.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no. Sorry, the other one's from an earlier album that I was thinking of.
No, well, there's Sweetness is from that
Sweetness,
album.
I thought Sweetness was from before, but for some reason. Because it's on the Clarity Expanded.
I think it was like a demo for Clarity or something. Because I noticed that too, that it was on both albums, if you look on Spotify.
But I definitely heard Sweetness after the middle. And I remember the video for Sweetness coming out, or at least it got play after the middle was already big, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
But let's hear a little bit of that, because that's in the comments for the Facebook that we'll get to later. Sweetness and the middle are the biggest topics, I feel like. So here's Sweetness. Does this sound different?
I think that might be
because it's from
the older one.
That's the Clarity one.
Yeah.
that was the, like, the one that was the popular one was off that one album. And then yes. they had another song called Hear You Me.
That's maybe my, that was my favorite song from them for a long time, but it's very melodramatic.
Very melodramatic. It's also in the movie A Cinderella Story with Hilary Duff. And it's, like, about someone dying. Because yes. the lyrics are like, may angels lead you in, but they're playing that song like during the big high school football game at like the end of the movie. And
that's
it's
so funny.
So mismatched. You're like, no, what?
That is so
Chad
funny.
McCoy going to die?
I don't think that one's on your playlist either, right? So really quick, let's hear the regular version of Sweetness from Bleed America, which is, I think, better. Or it sounds better.
Yeah,
right,
it's a little bit... I can't understand a single word they're saying. I just want to let you know that.
I don't think I do either. I know I was spinning free. Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just a really fun... I remember loving that video. I don't even remember. I just remember I would stay up and watch it. It was like wheelhouse time for me of like staying up late watching MTV and VH1 to see videos that I liked. And that one would always really strike me. And then, yeah, it's funny. I never think of this song as Hear You Me. I always think of it as May Angels Lead You In.
Yeah. Which, and I would have put that one too. I tried to put ones that I was like, what are ones that weren't on the radio, but I think like speak to that they're a good band. So those are the ones that I sent you guys that I was like, these are just like fun songs.
Sure. I think let's hear a little bit of Hear You Me just so that people can hear these. These are like the top three songs on there if you go to their Spotify too. So I think it's good to get this out of the way just so people know.
Of course.
This is what this is what people mostly know from Jimmy Eat World. And then we'll listen to the tracks that you sent over. So here's Hear You Me. I fucked up. I skipped.
I feel like it's their version of Adam's song.
Yeah,
like on YouTube,
for sure. What would you think of me now? So lucky, so strong, so proud. Never said thank you for that. Now I never have a chance. May angels lead. This has a great part where he screams, "May angels lead you in."
Yeah.
It's so good. It's a great. That song makes me think of fall so much, which we're in now. It's autumn because
leaf blowers are out.
When I started college, I got really into Bleed American again. And I would listen to that song and just walk around my campus and it's all the leaves are changing. It's a very nice song for that. But
I forgot it had some women in there coming in when you were skipping around. It's funny. I know it's not Jimmy World related, but the song that always reminds me of fall. Do you remember the song by Madonna called like, it's like music.
Of course.
For whatever reason, that song would always come on in the fall. Like in my memory, and I remember it playing on like the radio on the school bus, and every fall it like shows up in a weird. I was like, "This is no one even likes this song, Madonna."
Why? It's so funny. You're right, and somehow I've heard that song more than any other Madonna song.
Yeah.
It sucks.
So bad.
We should take a quick break before we get too much further, and then we'll come back with Jared's thoughts. I wanted to get through those hits before we heard Jared, because I'm sure he will have comments on them.
Can I give one fact before the break?
Yes.
Just because it won't be relevant anymore after, is because Logan brought up Blink-182, and there's another crossover with this band of Blink-182, which is that Jimmy World played Tom DeLonge's wedding.
He's apparently they're his favorite band, apparently. And
So the quote
better and worse at the same time. And I know you want to. Can I ask a question? I've always heard, are they a religious band? They're not, right? I've heard rumors.
I've not heard that, but I don't really know. I'm not sure.
I didn't
see anything about it in their little. I read their Wikipedia earlier. I didn't see anything about it. So usually that's pretty in your face.
Yeah, it's like high up on the page.
Yeah, and I didn't see anything about it, so I could be wrong. And also, nobody seems to have commented it on the Facebook. But I feel like that's something that would have come up. But who knows? All right, we will be right back with more Stand By Your Band.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, we're back. We have a voicemail from friend and foe of the show, Jared Thompson, our resident snob, the owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, where you can see shows online now for a little while at least. You can go to their website, comedyattic.com, and see who's coming to town. Some of the shows, I know that they're doing an online version so that you don't have to put yourself at risk. To do that, all right, let's hear Jared's thoughts on Jimmy Eat World. I'm very curious. I have a feeling he's going to say
it. I'm nervous.
I am a little bit too. Let's find out what Jared has to say.
What's up, y'all? It's this week's A1 to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Jimmy Eat World. So in the mid-90s, I booked punk shows, and I actually did a show for Turnkey, which was one of the pre-Jimmy Eat World bands from Arizona. And we kind of knew about this band, and they actually did a split 7-inch with a band called Christy Front Drive, which is one of my favorite bands of that era and still a band that I like now. And so they were kind of on track to be like a Promise Ring or Mineral, like one of these bands that was like going to be really, really popular. Texas Is a Reason would be another band. Like they were like sort of the biggest bands in indie. And then just out of the blue, they signed to Capitol. And the first record was released, and it was way more produced and just kind of, you know, it sounded like you could listen to it at Abercrombie and Fitch or something. But I have to admit that even given that and the historically bad name of the band, it's just a terrible band name, I did like them. And up till at least Bleed American, which is a pretty good album. I kind of lost track of them. I don't really know what they're up to now. But it's really an interesting look at how bands can just sort of be found by major labels, and then it just changes everything for them, because they really were like a pretty, you know, underground band with no album. Like they really had no album yet. So anyway, I will talk to you guys later. All right, thanks.
Interesting.
Wow. I mean, I didn't know any of the bands that he mentioned except for Jimmy Eat World. He's like, you know, they were on track to be like, I don't know, Texas Is whatever. And I was like, yeah, sure, that sounds like a goal that they had. I don't know.
So they signed with Capitol to do, which album is this? Static Prevails, right? After a brief scouting for producers, the band joined up with Drive Like Jehu drummer Mark Trombino to record its major label debut, Static Prevails, that featured their first singles, Call It in the Air and Rockstar. In the ensuing years, the band's agreement with Capitol permitted the release of singles on independent labels, including Split 7-inches with Christy Front Drive, Jejun, Blueprint, Scentfield, and Mineral. And then I think Clarity was also that. But I think Bleed American was no label.
Well, what happened was, so they got dropped by Capitol, and they were like, it was a time when they were still like working day jobs and stuff, and they just put all their own money into recording Bleed American. And they did, they kind of self-funded it, and then it ended up getting picked up and distributed. So it's kind of, it's a really cool story where they just kind of bet on themselves and made their best album. I mean,
man, that would be a great doc. That sounds like, that's almost Wilco-like. That's, that would be sick.
But, oh yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, just that makes me feel so much, it makes me like the album more, but also it's nice, you know, when you're like, just, I'm sure this comes up a lot on this podcast where you're like, is my view tinged by nostalgia or is this like a cool thing that was at least at its time, like a quality piece of art or music or whatever? Or did I just like it because I was 14 and I, you know, I just, it got me going, I guess. But like hearing this and then hearing the voicemail and stuff, I'm like, oh, I should be less embarrassed, I guess, when I'm like, oh, I like this band. I'm like, oh, wow, they put it together themselves. That's pretty good.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, they're cool. their picture, their band picture does not look cool at all. They look
It's like a recent photo on Spotify, at least, where I'm just like, guys, don't, maybe just go back to the graphics you had on the earlier albums.
Jared made a comment about their name. I want to ask you guys, what do you think of the name?
I would love to know the origins of the name.
I can tell you the origins of the name. Tom, do you have thoughts on this name?
Well, yeah, I looked up the origins also, so I'll let you tell it. But I feel like it was one of those stupid things where someone told me like, oh, they did it because it's Jew. And it's like, and then you, and I was like, oh, that's so weird. But it's not what happened.
Yeah. So
I wish, as a Jew, I wish that's why.
Maybe it's one of those secret ones where they made up this story afterward, which would be very weird. So the band's name came from a crayon drawing made after an incident between Linton's younger brothers, Jim and Ed Linton, who fought frequently. Jim usually won, but Ed sought revenge by drawing a picture of Jim shoving the earth into his mouth. The picture bore the caption "Jimmy Eat World," meaning that Jim was so fat that he could eat the world.
It was just a fat joke.
Yeah, it's just a fat joke made at his expense. So I like it. I think it's, I like the name, and it's very... it, also the little brother was anti-Semitic. And it...
It's maybe confusing. The little brother just wrote Jew, and they were like, well, we got to say it's something else because we have him writing Jew on stuff.
Jews eat the whole world.
It wasn't even a drawing. It was just like one of those old, you know, those pictures from like around World War II that are incredibly offensive to Jews, where it's like a drawing of a Jew, but it's like every stereotype.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
They're like the fucking Harry Potter ones.
Yeah. They're like a goblin, which I never put together as a side note, but... The goblins are very Jewy and they run the bank.
They run the banks. It's very evident. it's pretty fucked up. But that would be funny if that's, that's the drawing of Jimmy.
And he's just he's got the hair and the, well, okay.
Jim Eats World. I like it though. I think it's a cool name. I liked it even when it, in the beginning. I always thought it was cool. But
it also, like, just the other bands that were listed. It's rare. I feel like I like a band and then I'm okay with their name. I'm never like, oh, hell, like, that's a fucking amazing band name. I got to check them out.
Right.
Like, they mentioned some band twice called Mineral. What the fuck is that? I don't care. Yeah.
Promise Ring is a cool name. I like that. But
do you guys have any, did you ever come up with band names? For fun, I used to like look at billboards while I was driving and like, tuck away what I thought was like a fun band name.
Yeah, I used to have a list in my phone, and when I met Eric Andre like 8 years ago or whatever, he, in the middle of conversation, he stopped and pulled out a document he had on his phone that was all lists of, he goes, hold on, that's a great band name, and he just put it, added to a list.
I heard him do this, that bit, and I also,
oh, did he have a bit about it?
He had a bit where he's listing them, and then also one of the things he listed was something that I'd written down because I also thought it was funny. It was the name of a, I think it's a Thai restaurant in LA called Wat Dong Moonlek. But so I wrote it down and then I saved one of my friends as that in my phone because I just thought it was a funny, I don't know.
Sure. The only one I've ever like that I have that it's still in mind is Hot Cousin. I've always thought would be a good
I like that. That's good.
A good band name. But yeah, I don't know. What do you got, Tommy?
Well, when I was a young, very earnest guitar playing 13-year-old, I definitely thought about this a lot. And the one which is so bad now in retrospect, but I really wanted to have a band called Organized Confusion. That was the bit, and I thought it was so cool.
You know what I like is that I think a lot of the time. No, but I think a lot of time band names don't have enough syllables and long words. So I feel like you've done a good job with that one.
Sure.
Names, I have to bring this up because it's my favorite kind of anecdote. Bleed American.
Yes.
Came out right
before
9/11.
I was wondering if you were going to. Yeah. Yeah. As our resident 9/11 reporter.
9/11 pop culture anecdotes are my favorite thing. So they changed the title because they were worried that people would think they meant like bleed, comma, American.
Right.
The thought that anyone would think that this band from Arizona was saying bleed, comma, American. So they changed it to self-titled. And then it was just Jimmy Eat World for a while. Then they repressed it as Bleed American again. Probably once they realized like, oh yeah, who would hear the middle and be like, these terrorist fucks?
Yeah. Although, in their defense, at that time, maybe they would have. Who knows? People were going crazy back then. I remember when I tried to release my album, Die Infidels. People.
There's no comma.
Yeah.
Well, no, I heard Osama bin Laden's favorite song was The Middle. He would listen to it. I guess it makes sense. You know,
oh god, I thought of that. I'm just sometimes it's better to just not say the jokes that you think of.
No, you could just cut it out.
No, that's more work for me to do, and I don't feel like doing that. I don't edit anything out because I don't feel like it. I already have enough shit on my plate. I say if they cancel us, they cancel us.
That was my favorite. You're talking about the first time that we met when we were writing sketches on the movie show, and there was some sketch where it was maybe something about women just knowing the other women that also worked on it, and we were like, this is probably not good, we'll get canceled, and Tom was like, they can't cancel all of us. That was and it made me laugh.
The things that happened in that room.
Pretty wild.
Just kidding. Man, I'm excited for that to come out. Let's listen to some songs because we have not gotten to your...
And I'll be honest, I included one off another album because I felt self-conscious that all of them were on the one album. So I like that song, but yes. I didn't... If you were like, for time or something, which ones of these are important? That anything that's not on Bleed American, I don't care that much about.
Okay, good to know. let's go through some Bleed American songs here that we haven't played yet. Let's hear If You Don't.
What's wrong, baby? Don't they treat you like they should? Did you take them for every penny that you could?
Don't.
Just a fun, you know, fun little song.
Nice little song. Good time. I enjoy it. I do have a proposal for this week's episode. I think we should kind of just run through some of these songs And then the Facebook and Twitter are packed this week. So I think we should spend, because there's a people are, we have some huge fans of this band on there. So I want to get to some of their little anecdotes and, and stuff here. But let's hear, let's go through these. So the next one is the Authority song. Let's hear some of that. Hell yeah. I love that song. So
yeah,
great.
It was in the movie The Hot Chick.
Oh, wow.
Is that right? I did not know that. That's really funny.
Yeah.
I knew it from somewhere besides just this album, but I did not realize that. I love The Hot Chick.
I love that movie stuff. Also, as a side, I've been trying to read the script for The Hot Chick just for my own research, but whatever.
Sure. Sure.
Impossible to find on the internet. You'd think it would be free and available.
No, that's probably they probably didn't even have like fully write a script. They're like, this thing writes itself.
It's gonna be like a bin of post-it notes, and they're like, here you go. He's through it.
Jessica. That's the only thing I remember as he says that.
It was like Rachel McAdams' first movie.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's like it's the beginning. It says like introducing Rachel McAdams.
That's crazy. Wow. I did not know that. Doesn't Sandler play like a Rastafarian type guy or something?
Oh yeah, for sure.
They were really bad about that shit in those movies.
Yeah. No. Anytime there was like someone transforming, it was because someone who was a very bad racist trope was giving them something.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Something.
Yeah. Some sort of voodoo, yeah. Some sort of weird magic, yeah. Great. I don't even remember what the premise of that movie is other than the switch, and I really, really loved it, though. Made for humor. I mean, Rob Schneider, just a tour de force.
The way that he embodies playing a woman trapped in a man's body.
He just nailed it, man.
It was perfect. You can't see it, but I
did. It's so funny. We're like, we got to run through these songs, but we can break down the Hot Chick for a full five.
We got to talk about Hot Chick for a while.
Just skip to Facebook. Let's talk about Hot Chick.
You know what? You're right, Tommy. We need to get it faster. Get it faster.
This one's got a real slow build, so I'm sorry.
I'm going to skip forward. Oh, shit. Not that far. No. I'm going out. I don't care if you're angry. I should have thought things through. I'm holding out. I'm not getting an answer. I want to do right by you. I'm finding out. Cheating gets it faster. All right, let's get it faster. So good. And now let's hear a praise chorus.
Part of this was mine. I wanna fall in love tonight.
Very good. Great song.
Can I say one anecdote about it?
No. Yeah, of course.
No, it's fine. Never mind.
I'm kidding.
The reason I still like that song, so since I was like 15, 16, every year of the age I am, I try to find a song that says that age in it. So it's like a fun, you know, way. And I remembered when I heard that album, because he says 25 in it. So I like tucked it away in my brain. I was like, oh, this will be good for when I turn 25. And that seemed like a million years into the future. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then when I listened to that at 25, which was obviously years later, I was like, no, oh, this song is kind of cheesy, Logan. Okay. But that's why I like still thought about it.
Sure.
I love that song.
Yeah, that's a great song. It
holds up.
Let's hear the one song you put on here that is from, this is from Clarity, called Table for Glasses. Table for glasses.
What's you kind of get it with that one.
Yeah, you get it.
It's got good a violin stuff in there, which is fun.
I liked it a lot. Like I said, our comments this week are many. So I'm going to get to them. Tommy, do you want to pull up the Twitter? I'll pull up the Facebook.
Yeah, I've got it ready. Whenever.
Perfect. So, like I said, lots of Facebook stuff. Some people saying, multiple people saying this is their favorite band. Yeah. Which I was kind of surprised by. I would not think of them as, but the thing is, they're still making music. Like,
yeah,
they've been making music for, you know, over 20 years. So they, of course, they're going to stick to some people more than others, but they put something out, I think, in 2019. So they're definitely still cooking, and people still like the new stuff. So,
Maybe I'll try and listen to new. I just haven't, I don't know if it's, I'm 30 now. I don't have a favorite band. Like, I don't, there's that one band that matters to me more than, maybe that's mean. I'm just like, some are good. So I don't know. I'm not going to like.
I don't think that's a thing about being 30. lots of 30-year-olds have favorite bands.
Well, like, what's your favorite, like, it feels like a question like that you fill out on a worksheet in homeroom or
true
something.
I agree. I don't know if flavor. I have a favorite right now.
I don't know. Sorry to be rude if you guys both have favorite bands that are
really- I don't know that I do. It is weird to have that question, because it's like, it means so many things, where it's like, I love Radiohead, but I don't listen to them a lot anymore. And it used to be Modest Mouse was like, I would say it so quickly, and now it's like, I don't really listen to Modest Mouse that much anymore, but then I'll go through phases of it. I listen to The National probably more than anything now, but. And then Wilco, we talk about till people's ears bleed, American. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard. There's a lot of it. I talked about it on the Patreon, but I bought 3 different shirts for the band Always when I was drunk. So maybe they're my favorite band.
Wow.
Even though they only have 2 albums.
You got more shirts than they have albums.
That is true.
Were they different shirts?
Yeah, that would be so insane if I bought the same. I like this shirt. I gotta buy it. See that I've already bought it twice in the same night. So Maeve Hanlon writes, big fan, even though even their overplayed mainstream stuff still hits the spot now and then. Also, the completely random sax solo in their newer single, All the Way, in parentheses Stay, is so uncalled for, but I love it. I'm not going to play it, though. Matt Fishman writes, A Praise Chorus is a great song, and I didn't grasp for a few weeks that a good chunk is it's comprised of numerous chorus sections of other songs. I was young and dumb. I hated the middle. Sweetness is good.
Well, yeah, because like the Praise Chorus goes into that part, the Crimson and Clover. Mm-hmm. I know there's way more to it.
Mm-hmm. Our house that's in from the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. And then there's a lot of debate on about the middle. That's funny. Alex Schubert says they're talking about the song The Reason. He says along those same lines, Hoobastank's sound wasn't just the reason. They had plenty of heavier stuff. That's interesting. I never gave Hoobastank a chance besides The Reason, and I loved The Reason. I'm sure I would have gone the other way where if I had listened to other shit of theirs, I would be like, this sucks. When I was like 15 or whatever. Let's see. The opening to Bleed American still gets me pumped every time I hear it. That's Pete.
I left that one off, but that one's really, really good too.
Apparently people like his solo stuff. That's Josh Austin. James Doyle says, when my grandpa was near the end of his life in 2005, the whole family visited him. We were all at the hospital at the same time. My aunt passed around a big yellow stuffed star pillow thingy for all of us to sign and write a little message for grandpa, and it would be buried with him. I couldn't think of anything, so I wrote, may angels lead you in. Hear me, my friends, on sleepless roads that sleepless go. May angels lead you in. Everyone who read it teared up, and they all thought I came up with it.
That was pretty rad.
Many years later, I found out that the first time I did stand up, Jimmy Eat World was playing on the same block. Oh, that's cool.
James
Doyle. That's such a good story.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I'm just picturing just like the white hot panic sweat of like, oh shit, okay.
It'd be funny if that song comes on and he rushes to like turn it off.
Turn it off.
The song sucks. I hate it.
The mom puts on like the alt rock station in the car. He's like, no, I hate that now. I can't listen to it.
I want to get to the ones that let's see here. Ooh, Will Carey says, one of my favorite bands, saw them live in Central Park years ago. Hear You Me is an amazing song. Clarity is one of the best emo records of the 90s. And they did a great Taylor Swift cover on Conan.
I didn't know that. Okay, well, I'm sorry. That's a crossover of... I love Taylor Swift. So
there you go. Hey, you and Tommy both.
You like her new album?
I love Folklore.
There are songs that are really, really good.
I'm excited because she made a fall album and put it out in July, and now it's going to be time for Folklore.
Yeah.
I think the weather's going to reflect it better. Yeah.
Little warm perfect coffee drink with a scarf on.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say pumpkin spice, but it felt too hack. I couldn't do it.
Ron Trimbath writes, Jimmy World knocks, and not just on some nostalgia shit. They can a song. Maybe it means they have a song. They have a song called 555 that came out last year and was incredible. Some friends of mine worked the set of the video and said they were cool as hell. Also, I love a band that will probably never use their initials alone. LOL. We covered that.
Partly they could make a comeback as Jew.
They should just do that.
Have you heard this new band, Jew?
Ray DeVito posted a bunch of shit on here. He said he saw them for the fourth time last summer in Jersey.
Oh, wow.
And he posted a picture of himself on stage wearing a shirt of theirs. let's see here. John Kuhn says, during the music video for The Middle, several dudes were fired for getting hard. No joke. I remember this fact from one of those MTV shows where they popped up facts over the video.
That's so funny. Now I've got to change my Taylor Swift Googling.
Let's see here. There was, Tarek Bey Fachai. This is what I was looking for. This is my friend from back in Bloomington. He says, they're my favorite band, one of the few groups that consistently puts out music that's just as good as it was 20 plus years ago. Chase This Light is my favorite of their new albums. It's new in quotes. It's perfect fall music to listen to with your windows down. I've only gotten to see them live once, but they were awesome. It was towards the end of their tour, and it was probably apparent how tired they were after the show. But the whole band waited outside afterward and met/talked to every single person who stood in line to meet them. I used to go to a lot of concerts, and lots of bands eventually started charging for meet and greets to limit the number of people they had to talk to, or just straight up stopped caring about meeting fans. So it was really cool of them to do that, especially considering how long they've been around. They also played an amazing cover of We Are Never Getting Back Together. Wow. Oh, yeah, there you go.
That's what it said the song was. But I didn't play it.
Let's see. Yeah, I think that's those are the big ones. What do we got from Twitter?
Okay. What if I just started reading my whole feed? Okay, apparently we need to normalize. Okay, Brian Breslau says, Jim Adkins looks like Jim Carrey's chubby cousin. A Praise Chorus is the top five best pop punk emo song ever. And wow. He also said they wanted to throw away the middle. Could have cost them billions. Tim McLaughlin, past guest, said, Jimmy eat dicks. I'm out. And his girlfriend, Michael Fox, responded, yeah, of the closet.
I know that's right.
Mari Hoffman said two of their best songs are just numbers, 23 and 555. You know how much I love the number 23 with that chubby chubby. Adam says Futures is a really good album. Futures is great. That was the one they put out after Bleed American. It's got Pain, which is one of my favorite songs. A lot of people talking about how they like Sweetness and Bleed American. Mm-hmm. Buffalo's Cutest Boy says, I'm going to have to sing this one. Will you piss on me? Whoa. And he does the whole verse, but we don't have time
piss
for that.
On my back. Whoa.
That's the next one.
I didn't read it.
I'll piss on you back. Whoa.
Austin says, Static Prevails and Clarity are classics. I'm a big fan of Bleed American as well. I just got a little tired of hearing the middle at every church sock hop and school dance I went to.
Sure.
I thought it was religious that that song is like not inappropriate. So it's like an upbeat song that they could play for like youth groups, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's got a feeling of like, you'll get through adversity just like our Lord.
I just want to say that this guy really did write out quite a lot of lyrics. I'm looking at it now.
I know. Yeah.
It's very impressive work. I'm going to throw that a little RT from the account.
Yeah. I'll do two more. Kendra, All Time Kendra wrote, finally, my second favorite band of all time, and Futures is my fave album of all time. Damn. I think they got a lot of crap because the middle was so popular and a lot of people didn't take the time to dive deeper. Yeah, I want to listen to Futures again because I listened to Pain again today and it's so good. And then finally, Mr. Pissed the Hell Off said, I asked for Bleed American for my B-Day. My mom went to buy it for me but forgot the band name and asked for Johnny Eat Worms instead. Oh, it took a while, but eventually they figured out what she was talking about.
No wonder that guy's so pissed the hell off. He's been mad about that ever since.
That's so. I'm just picturing a mom. My mom has done that so many times. She's like, what's that band? For one time, she's asking me about, it was the band Offspring.
Uh-huh.
And we got,
I can't believe this is what you're, no, sorry, go ahead.
And she was just like, they're called Other Side? And like, we were like yelling in the car. She was like, you know the band. I was like, I don't know that. There's no band called, I don't know that, mom.
That's so funny. I had a similar thing where I had to buy an Offspring CD for my cousin and I also forgot and then was sent to the dirty section of the record store. That's really funny. All right, well that does it for the Facebook and Twitter segment. I just realized we forgot to take our second break, but you know what, I'm just gonna plug it in between the songs and the Facebook. But that brings us to the conclusion of today's episode, which means it's time to rate the playlist. We only got 5 songs from Logan, so
I say it was supposed to be six,
but it's all good.
You said, could you send us some songs?
I'll read that one back and and see if that's what I said. Logan, I want you to do this on air. I want you to go back and see.
Okay, well, you know what,
let's see here. I'm gonna, I found the text.
Got your songs? We like to make a playlist.
No, it's before that. It's before that. it says, can you send us a list of 6 Jimmy World songs you like that we can sample on the show?
I received this at 4:19, a minute away from being a cool time a.m.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt. That's what I said it before. I wanted to catch you sober.
I probably read it and then fell back asleep. No, is on me.
It's on me. I told you way too late. It doesn't matter. We'll still read it.
I actually read this text.
But before we do the rating of this week's playlist, you get to give your final thoughts on Jimmy World. So go for it, Logan. What do you got to say?
I just learning more about them. A lot of times, like we were just talking about Taylor Swift, and I decided to watch her documentary on Netflix, and learning more about her made me like her less.
Oh, shit.
And this was the opposite, which is nice, where I was like, oh, this seems cool. And I would revisit, like, I know I listened to Futures, but not really, but I was like, maybe later today, you know, I'll try listening to their music again.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, this is the first time I realized their name was Jew, and I'm still excited. I wonder if that's why my mom let me have the CD. So I'm still a fan, still proud of them, you know.
Yes. Love it. Okay. Well, the way that I want to do this, I think, is since we did play The Middle and Sweetness and Hear You Me, I'm just going to mash those in to be the final song on this list of six. So that's a full point, obviously. And then I really liked this whole thing. I don't know what I could even dock on, but I think maybe Table for Classes I liked, but I could maybe it's tough. I don't know. I really liked this playlist, so I'm just gonna say 5.75. I really loved it. I'm gonna listen to it. I'm gonna listen to Jimmy Eat World all day today. I've got a long bike ride in front of me, and I'm excited for it. So out of six, 5.75. What do you think, Tommy?
Hell yeah. I was so happy to talk about Jimmy Eat World. I'm a big fan. Logan, thank you for bringing them to us. This was super fun. I think Bleed American is such a great album. To say the most embarrassing sentence in the world, my sister and I used to listen to an a cappella cover of this album in high school. Ow. Truly, what could be more embarrassing? But I love all these songs. I'm going to go 5 out of 6. I didn't like Table for Glasses, but I don't know that album at all. I just know the two, Bleed American and Futures. So to close, I'll quote what Tom DeLonge said when his wife said that they were going to have Jimmy Eat World at the wedding. He said that, "I was in tears. I cried more than any girl ever cried. That was the gnarliest thing that ever happened to me when you brought them on the podcast."
Hell yeah. Oh my God. Great times. Oh yeah, you get to rate the playlist as well, Logan. So what do you got?
I have to rate it out of 6.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, I worked briefly as a teacher, and here's the thing. I didn't follow directions. But technically, I feel like I have to give myself like a 2 because I didn't listen to the rules.
I think that's perfectly fair.
So yeah, I'm giving myself a 2. Like, I love the band, but I just can't. I'm not going to give myself an easy pass with the music. I failed the assignment, so it's fine.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this has been another failure of an episode. you know what? Thanks so much for coming on, Logan. Is there anything you want to plug?
You know, just Instagram and Twitter. I get, my Instagram is at places I took a shit this year. And my Twitter is at a dirty gunts. Those might be the only funny things I've ever done coming up with. So if you want to check them out, that would be great.
Hell yeah. Tommy?
Yeah, just check out my Instagram, Dirty Gunts. And,
and my Twitter, places I took a piss on my self this year. Hell yeah. Get on the Patreon, people. I forgot to plug it. I'll throw a plug up top. But Patreon's only $3 a month. We just did a landmark on it. That's nice. We got a new... Ooh. We're over 400 now, so that's nice. So yeah, keep getting on there. We're doing bonus episodes every damn week, and yeah, that's it. We'll see you next week. Keep it crispy. Bye.
All right.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too?
That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.